In the message this morning, and next week we're back in Galatians, and it's really interesting. It's like, oh Galatians, why are you so deceived? Or yeah, so I'm looking forward to that next week. Welcome back, Lee and Robin. They're not back fully with us yet, end of June, but they're here today, and we welcome you back too. All right, Craig, are you wired up? Are you using this?
Thanks very much, Julie.
No worries.
Yeah.
Are you on?
I am. All ready to go. Thanks very much, Julie, and it's great to be able to bring you God's Word this morning. And I hope that there's a key takeaway message for everyone here today. We're going to look at disciples and understand a little bit about the disciples and hear about the disciples and Christians. We're going to find out perhaps a little bit about some of the disciples and some that we really don't know much about at all, and we probably won't learn any more about them. We know that the terminology changed in the Bible from disciples to Christians, and we'll hear a bit more about that. And we'll hear how we can be followers of Jesus and do the things that Jesus wants us to do as disciples and Christians. Well, the disciples, the definition is a dedicated follower of Jesus and also a person who learned from Jesus, from following Jesus. There were 12 disciples, as you may well know, and they're mentioned four times in the Bible. We also hear about an apostle. Apostle was one who was sent. Every apostle was a disciple, but there was only a select group of disciples who were chosen as apostles. However, there were many more than 12 disciples. And we hear in Acts chapter 7, it says, "In Jerusalem, the word of God spread, the number of disciples increased rapidly." And also in Acts chapter 14, "In Antioch, they preached the good news and won a large number of disciples." So there was lots of disciples who spread the word of Jesus. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, and we hear that in Acts chapter 11. The disciples may have been viewed by, the 12 disciples may have been viewed by the Jews, as being Jews. And so the last mention of the word disciples was in Acts. And in fact, the third last mention of the disciples talks about the word disciples was last mentioned in the book of Acts. And I found that very interesting. I didn't really realise that at all, that disciples was not even mentioned in the Bible after Acts. And to learn a bit about the disciples was quite difficult, really, in some respects. Because there was very few surnames, if any, used in the Bible. And so the 12 disciples didn't have any surnames that I could find. We hear that they were the son of, in some cases. And so to know exactly what their names were, and we'll hear about the disciples as we go through each disciple and just have a quick look at each of the disciples. And so the first disciples were called by Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. So let's have a quick look at Simon Peter. We hear probably most about Simon Peter in the Bible. We don't really hear about the other disciples anywhere near as much as Simon Peter. And he had that sort of two names. He was called Simon, he was called Peter. And both those names in the Greek and the Hebrew meant rock, and he was sometimes called the rock. He was the son of Jonah. His brother was Andrew. He was actually a follower before Jesus. He followed John the Baptist. We hear that he was a fisherman, and he was married. He wrote the first and second Peter in the Bible, the epistles of Peter. He was a bit impetuous. He sort of said and did things on the spur of the moment, it seems, in the Bible. And one of those, of course, he wanted to walk to Jesus on the water. And then Jesus, when he started to sink, he said, "You have little faith." He cut off the soldier's ear. He denied Christ three times. And so he wasn't a perfect disciple. He had his ups and downs as a disciple. After Jesus went to heaven, back to heaven, he performed many miracles. And the history sort of tells us that he spread the good news, particularly to the Romans, and he was crucified. And that's history tells us that. We don't actually see that in the Bible. And then his brother Andrew, he was also the son of Jonah. His brother, obviously, was Simon Peter, and he also was a follower of John the Baptist. He was a fisherman. The Bible tells us that he brought the boy forward with the five loaves and two fish that helped feed the 5,000 people. And history also tells us that he spread the good news around the Black Sea area and that he was also crucified. James. We read about James. He was a fisherman. He was often called James the Greater, or he was the older of the two disciples who were called James. He was the son of Zebedee. His brother was John. And he was always mentioned with John in the Bible. He was never mentioned separately. He was always mentioned with John. And John and Andrew are called the sons of thunder. I don't know what that was, whether they had a bit of an anger or a loud voice or whatever the case might have been. And history tells us that he spread the good news in Spain and he was put to death by King Agrippa. And he's the only disciple that we hear in the Bible how he actually died. So we don't really know how the other disciples really died, but we know that James was put to death by King Agrippa from the Bible. And John, he was also the son of Zebedee, he was the brother of James. He was a son of thunder, and because he possibly had an explosive temper. He was a fisherman. He wrote the book of John, the epistles, 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. He wrote extensively about the love of God. Perhaps that was because he was a bit sort of, temper, or perhaps he felt a bit outcast, but he wrote extensively about the love of God in the book of John, but also in the epistles. He was recorded as the disciple who Jesus loved. He performed many miracles, and I've got here that he was a good runner because he ran and outran Peter when he went to the tomb to see where Jesus had what was where he laid in the tomb when Jesus rose again from the dead. Apparently, history tells us that he was tried to be killed on a number of occasions, and I think there may even be a recording or two of that in the Bible as well. And he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. And history tells us that he died a natural death, even though he was tried to be killed on a number of occasions. The next disciple is Philip. And John chapter 1 tells us the next day, this is after he called Jesus called Simon Peter and Andrew and John. The next day Jesus decided to leave from Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." He had a good friend, Nathanael. Philip may have been a fisherman, but we're really not sure whether he was or not. And he was there with the five loaves and fishes. And John chapter 6 tells us, Jesus said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Philip said, 8 months' worth of wages would not be enough food for the people. We don't get him confused with Philip the evangelist. And history tells us that he spread the good news in parts of Europe and Asia and that he was also put to death. Thomas was his Hebrew name, and he had a Greek name called Didymus. He was a carpenter, and he was with Jesus when Lazarus was raised from the dead. And he didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead until he had seen Jesus. He was a sort of probably a pretty literal sort of guy. John chapter 20, I just want to read a few verses out of John chapter 20. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Wow, Thomas, a really literal sort of guy. And sometimes in life we want to be really literal, don't we? It's really hard to use our faith sometimes, whether it's in general life, and sometimes we become less using our faith when people let us down. But Jesus said, you need to have faith. And blessed are those who have not seen, not being able to be literal and put their hands in his hand in Jesus' nail print, but have believed if we can't see using faith. History tells us that Thomas spread the good news in Iran and India and that he was speared to death. We hear about Matthew as being one of the disciples, and he was a tax collector. When Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed Jesus. History tells us that he spread the good news in Judea, Ethiopia, Persia, and that he was stabbed to death. Now here's the other James. He was James the son of Alphaeus, and he was often called James the Lesser, or possibly the younger James. We don't know his occupation. And history tells us that he spread the good news around Jerusalem area and he was stoned and clubbed to death. Thaddeus or Thaddeus, he had a few different names. Lebbaeus, Jude and Judas. Maybe the son or brother of James the Less, because he was actually called in the Bible Judas of James. We don't know his occupation. And we're just going to read a couple of verses out of John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So the disciples asked lots of questions, and Jesus gave them the answers, or sometimes he told them a parable. And Jesus answered all their questions, or so sometimes they still didn't understand. Thaddeus was, history tells us, that he spread the good news in Persia. And then we come to Simon the Zealot. We don't know his occupation, but we know he was jealous for the Jews and the Jewish law. He was a political agitator against the Romans. And of course we know and recall in the Bible that render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and God the things that are God. We don't know really anything else about Simon the Zealot apart from one of the disciples was a political agitator. And that was a good thing because he was defending the Jews, defending what was right. Then we hear about Bartholomew, and and he also had a name called Nathanael. So some mentions in the Bible about Bartholomew, and others mention about Nathanael. He was also he may have been a fisherman, And he was called a true Israelite in whom there was no deceit. And after Jesus called Philip, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything come out good from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Peter, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus said, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And so Nathanael was a strong follower of Jesus. You know, God knows all about us, just like he did about Nathanael. He knew where he was, what he was doing. God knows all about us. Psalm 139 tells us, "Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. You know when I stand up. You know when I sit down. You know when I go out. You know when I come home. You even understand my thoughts." And so God knows all about us. And God knew all about Nathanael and wanted him to become one of his followers. History tells that he spread the good news in India, Ethiopia, Iran, Turkey, and that he was martyred. And then we come to Judas Iscariot. He was the treasurer or the money holder with the disciples. He was from Judah, and all the other disciples, as I would understand, came from Galilee. He was with Jesus for 3 years of his life, but he didn't give his heart to Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. He committed suicide. And after he died and after Jesus rose again from the dead, he was replaced by Matthias as one of the disciples. You know, we don't have much individual insight about the disciples. We've got that sort of snapshot, and yes, there's a bit of other information in the Bible about the disciples. We know that disciples were often together as a group. They followed Jesus. They were with him for 3 years. We hear a bit more about Peter, James and John. They seem to be with Jesus, perhaps in different areas or circumstances. When Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, Mount of Transfiguration and the Garden of Gethsemane. But other than that, we really don't hear a lot. But the disciples were a diverse group. We've just had a little snapshot about the disciples being a diverse group. Perhaps they're a bit of a surly lot, you know, maybe not. They had some goodness and kindness in them. They wanted to follow Jesus. They didn't really understand everything about Jesus. We're a pretty diverse group here, aren't we? Perhaps a surly lot? Maybe not. But we're a diverse group, aren't we? But yet, Jesus calls us to be his disciples. They had one thing in common. They followed Jesus and they learnt from him. They asked lots of questions. And so they wanted to learn more, and it's good for us to ask questions of each other. Delve into the Bible and find out more about Jesus. We hear about Paul the Apostle that was sent by Jesus, and he became an apostle chosen by Jesus on the road to Damascus. And after Jesus went back to heaven, the disciples spread the good news far and wide. They became fishers of men, just like Jesus called them to be fishers of men. And we hear in Matthew chapter 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end." And so Jesus' command to the disciples was go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's our command as well, that Jesus, as if we're one of his disciples, if we're a Christian, he wants us to spread the good news. And history does tell us that the disciples spread the good news throughout their immediate sort of world in those days. Luke 14 tells us, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Wow, what a challenge to us today to be one of Jesus' disciples, to put Jesus first, to put Jesus as number one, ahead of our family. That's a big ask, isn't it? Because we love our family. We need to put Jesus first, even ahead of our family. And we hear fishermen, John and Andrew, they left the boats, they left their fishing nets, and they left their father because they were following Jesus. We need to put Jesus number one about ahead of our family and our friends. Jesus number one ahead of our job or our hobby, our interests, our pets, our gardening, the things we like to do. We need to put Jesus first. A lot of people like to read. How much time do you spend watching TV? We need to put Jesus first. Ahead of our money, ahead of our relaxation, ahead of our cooking, if you're a good cook. Ahead of our computer, games, our interests and hobbies, put Jesus first. In John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples.'" To stay with Jesus' word, to stick with Jesus' word, to get immersed with Jesus' word, that's how we can be one of Jesus' disciples, to learn the word of God and to try and understand it. John chapter 13 tells us, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And John 15:8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." What fruit? The fruit of the Spirit that we read in Galatians. Love. The love that we heard about, that John wrote about extensively, the love of God and how that he loved us before we loved him. Joy. Joy to the Lord. Peace that passes all understanding. Patience is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. The patience of Job. Wow. How can we have patience? How can we have more patience? Kindness and goodness are also fruits of the Spirit. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. "My Father is glorified if you bear much fruit." Why does he want us to bear much fruit? So that we can show others God's love and be one of his disciples by spreading God's word through the fruits of the Spirit. And John chapter 2, his disciples put their faith in him after Jesus' first miracle. And so Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. And the disciples were there. They were there at the wedding. And they put their faith in him because they saw the miracle that Jesus. But Jesus often said to the disciples, "O ye of little faith." Where's your faith? Jesus said. Jesus said to the disciples who were following him, "Where is your faith?" Jesus said, "If you just got a little bit of faith, like the grain of a mustard seed, that's all you need. And you can increase your faith by hearing the word of God." But Jesus said to the disciples on more than one occasion, "Where is your faith? Are ye of little faith? Didn't you believe me? Are ye of little faith?" And that's a challenge to us today. So I just want to finish off, and I'm going to have six things for you to try and remember. I haven't got them up on the screen, so that makes it even harder, doesn't it? But if you remember one of these things, one thing that might be speaking to you today, if you remember two or even up to the six, it would be fantastic. But we know that being a disciple, being a Christian, is being a dedicated follower of Jesus. It's a learner who follows Jesus. But to follow Jesus, you've got to put your faith and trust in him. So the first thing is, put your faith in Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That last verse that we just had was, his disciples put their faith in him. Have you put your faith in Jesus? So the first and probably the most important thing to remember, put your faith in Jesus. Because if you don't have faith, you can't be a disciple. You can't be a Christian if you don't have faith and put your faith and trust in Jesus. The second thing is, put Jesus number one. All the things that we do in life, all the things that we have, all the things that take our time, put Jesus number one. So the first thing is, this is confusing, isn't it? The first thing is put your faith in Jesus. The second thing is put Jesus number one. The third thing is love one another the same as Jesus loved us. The fourth thing is abide in his word. The fifth thing is spread the good news. And the sixth thing is bear much fruit. Okay, so I'll go through them again. And you might just pick one that you want to remember. You might pick a couple that you want to try and remember as well. As we think about the disciples, as we think about the things that they did, they were with Jesus for 3 years. They lived with him every day. But Jesus said, "You have little faith." Wow, what a challenge to us as a surly lot to just get in touch with Jesus and to try and capture some of the things that Jesus wanted to teach us and wants to teach us as Christians, as disciples, as followers of him. So the first thing was, put your faith in Jesus. Put Jesus number one ahead of everything else. Love one another. Abide in his word. Spread the good news and bear much fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, the good things, the things that have no law, the things we can do as much of as we possibly can, the fruit of the Spirit. Put your faith in Jesus, put Jesus number one, love one another, abide in his word, spread the good news and bear much fruit. Thank you, Jesus, for the word you've given me this morning. We pray that there'll be just some little thing that we can take away with us. Thank you for the example that we have with Thomas, a very literal guy who needed to see the wounds of Jesus before he trusted in him. Jesus said, "Use your faith to trust in me, because if you trust in me, you can be a follower of me and I will look after you for life." Thank you that we can love one another. Thank you we can be in unity together if we love you. And we thank you for your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Craig. That was great. That was great. I love that the disciples were so not perfect. It's a great example to us, because we're not perfect either. So thank you for that. And yeah, I agree that they're great points there of being a dedicated follower of Jesus. Well, we're going to finish, as we do, worshipping God. And the first song is about the love of God that you've just talked about. So we've got three songs there. Just enjoy them. Let them minister to you. Worship him. Send our praises up there, don't we? It all goes up there to him, because he deserves all the praise and all the glory. And then we're going to have some fellowship with coffee. Don't forget those voters. If we can just have a little meeting after, that'd be great. Thanks, everyone.